He had been working since sunup. The smell of fresh-cut wood filled the air. Sunlight streamed in an open door and reflected on the dust particles in the air. He paused and wiped his forehead with his handkerchief, set the block plane that he was using down on the bench, and walked to the door. It was almost noon. The sun was high overhead, and in the distance, he could see a snow-capped peak. He scanned the hillside, looking for movement in the distance. He wondered if today would be the day. She had been gone almost 90 days. Not that he was counting. But oh, how he missed her. He leaned for a moment against the doorpost, and his mind began to wonder. He retraced their courtship. He had known her since she was a little girl. He teased her when she was young. Watched her grow up, really. Now she was respected in the community, known for her love for God and for her people. So young and so full of life, and when she smiled, it lit up the room. He smiled too at the thought of that. In his heart, he had always known she was the one. When the time was right, just a few months ago, he had asked her father for her hand in marriage. A contract had been drawn up between the families, signed by the mothers, the fathers, and this young man. They were betrothed now, almost married, but not quite. They could not yet be alone, but they could go for walks together. They could discuss their hopes, their dreams for the future, where they wanted to travel, where they wanted to live, how many children they wanted to have, and how they would raise them, how they would teach them about Jehovah and about looking for the coming Messiah, He who was promised as the hope of Israel. He was startled from his thoughts because he saw her coming in the distance. She was draped in a shawl to protect her from the sun. She smiled for a moment when she saw him standing in the doorway, and then she slowed her step. He started towards her, and then he broke into a dead run. Covered the distance between them in seconds, ran right up to her, stopped for a moment in front of her, and then wrapped his arms around her and squeezed her tight, lifted her off the ground, and then gently set her back down. He looked deep in her eyes, and before he could say anything, she said, "Joseph, I'm pregnant." For a moment, he couldn't breathe. A wave of total disbelief covered him. The blood vessels throughout his body dilated. Adrenaline pumped into his bloodstream. His knees went weak. She was speaking, but he could not hear anything she was saying. All he could hear was the pounding of his heart between his ears as it tried to keep him upright as his blood pressure dropped. What had she said? "I am with child." Questions filled his mind. Had she been unfaithful? They loved each other. She had only been gone for less than 3 months. Had she met someone else? How could this be? He had tried so hard to serve God with all of his heart. Finally, Mary's voice broke through the mayhem in his mind. "Yes, I'm with child. No, I have not slept with any man. An angel came to me and he told me, 'Do not be afraid,' that the Holy Spirit would come upon me. I have been chosen by God to bring the Messiah into the world." He put his hand up then, stopped her in mid-sentence. Tears rolled down her cheeks, her breath, ragged sobs. Tears filled his eyes. He opened his mouth, but no words came. His heart was in pieces. His hands were shaking. His mind was in turmoil. And he bowed his head. And he turned. And he walked away. Stand with me for the reading of God's Word. Our text is found in Matthew chapter 1, verses 8 through 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. And this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Bow your heads with me. Heavenly Father, what a wonder you are. Thank you for being here in our presence this morning. You, who were before all things and will exist after all things are gone. Thank you for your holy word, inerrant, infallible, unchanging, that reveals to us who you are. Thank you for your love for us, uncaused and undeserved. Father, I ask you to take a coal from off your altar and touch my lips. Purify this vessel. Cleanse me, Lord. For I am not worthy to stand behind this sacred desk. Lord, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of our heart be acceptable in your sight, because you are our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. You may be seated. His father's name was Jacob, just like the patriarch. His name, Joseph, just like the one that had the coat of many colors. He was from the tribe of Judah. And if you went far enough back in his family line, many, many generations, he would find that his great-great-great-great-great-great-grandfather was King David. Joseph was an artificer, an artisan. I know, we call him a carpenter. That's the way the word is translated in our Bibles. But the Greek word is tektone. One who is highly skilled, a master craftsman. The Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, uses that word to describe the men who built the palace of King David. And it's the same word used that describes those men that built the temple of Solomon. He wasn't just a carpenter. He was a master craftsman. And as you read through the passages that describe him in the New Testament, you see that he loved God with all his heart. But there isn't a word that he spoke written down in any of the Gospels. Verse 19 says he was a just man. That word, just, is dikaios in the Greek. It means approved by God. Literally, it would be translated, because he was a righteous man, a man faithful. That was his identity. That was how he was known in Nazareth. Everyone knew his work. They all knew his faith, and they knew his dedication to God. He was looked up to. He was what every other Israelite in that community aspired to be. He was righteous in all things. And now, he was faced with a great dilemma. The woman he was betrothed to was with child. The turmoil for him must have been overwhelming, trying to figure out what to do. Sleepless nights, tormented work days, as he struggled with his emotions and the situation that confronted him. Here's the problem. According to Levitical law, she was to be put to death. Exodus 22:20. But if the thing is true, that evidence of virginity was not found in the young woman, then they shall bring out the young woman to the door of her father's house, and the men of her city shall stone her to death with stones. And if there is a betrothed virgin, and a man meets her in the city and lies with her, then you shall bring them both out to the gate of that city, and you shall stone them to death with stones, the young woman because she did not cry out for help, though she was in the city, and the man because he violated his neighbor's wife, so shall you purge evil from your midst. He knew the law. He knew the situation that he was faced with. The only other option he had was to publicly divorce her, and that would destroy her reputation. It would place all of the shame and disgrace of the situation upon her and upon her family, and she would be treated as an outcast and a harlot, an adulteress, for the rest of her life. But that was nothing compared to what would happen to her child. Deuteronomy 23:2. No one born of a forbidden union may enter the assembly of the Lord even to the 10th generation. None of his descendants may enter the assembly of the Lord. A child of a forbidden union and no descendants for 10 generations. From Abraham to David is only 14 generations. From David to the exile, 14 generations. And from the exile to Christ's birth, 14 generations. According to the law, with Joseph's understanding at that moment as he considered what was going on, that young lady and the child she bore could never be a part of the congregation or assembly of the Jews. It kept him awake at night. Verse 19, but her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. He determines to pursue a quiet bill of divorcement. No public trial. He loved her desperately, and he did not want to shame her. He was suffering, but he did not want her to suffer. So instead, he decides to take upon himself the shame. He would go to the elders. He would tell them that he had changed his mind, that he didn't want to be married to her. The problem with that is that as the pregnancy continued and it became more obvious that she was with child, everyone in that town would assume that he was the father and that he had shirked his responsibilities. It was going to devastate his position in the community. That meant his life would never be clear of ridicule. There would always be doubt to his integrity. And he would take upon himself the scorn personally, emotionally, and spiritually of the situation. The scripture says he had already determined to divorce her. I can see him there, lying in bed, tears streaming down his face, his hands covering his eyes, sobbing, until he dropped into fitful sleep, laying there in the very structure that he had worked so hard to obtain so that he could bring her home as his bride. And now, the entire relationship destroyed. Finally, sleep overtakes him. Verse 20, "Behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife." What would Joseph have to fear? You think anybody in that little obscure town in Nazareth was going to believe their story? Angel came to see both of us. The Holy Spirit came upon her. That's why she's with child. Nobody was ever going to believe the truth. He would never be invited to his friends' homes again. He would never be respected. He would never be looked upon as righteous again. And if he committed himself to this child, to the one who was to be called Jesus, he was going to do it at even greater personal and emotional cost. Verse 23, "She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." Mary will bear a son, Joseph, but he won't be your son. He won't even look like you. In fact, when people see him, they'll see me, because he's my son, the Son of God. But Joseph, I'm asking you to become his earthly father. You must adopt him. I am entrusting you with the most priceless gift ever given to humanity. You've loved and cherished his mother. You were willing to sacrifice your reputation for her, but now, Joseph, you must love and protect both of them, and you must sacrifice everything emotionally, physically, economically, and spiritually, all for his sake. Save my son, Joseph, so that one day he can save you. When Joseph awoke, he did not hesitate. He had spent days trying to figure out what to do, working it out on his own, trying to decide how to work within the law. But when God spoke to him, he responded immediately. He was absolutely obedient in an instant to the instruction of the Lord. I was thinking about that last night as I was working on this. Hundreds of thousands of people over centuries have made huge sacrifices to follow Christ, each one answering the call upon their lives just like Joseph did. Dedicated Christians giving up status, reputation, wealth, possessions, freedom, and even their lives, all for the cause of Christ. But Joseph gave up all that he had, sacrificed it all before Jesus was even born. Verse 24, "She shall bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and he took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. This is hugely significant. Joseph is commanded to personally name the child. It means that in Joseph naming the boy and acknowledging him as his own son, he becomes the legal father of the young man according to Jewish law. And as a result of that legal adoption, Joseph's ancestry as a descendant of David transfers legally to his son. Biologically, Jesus is the only begotten Son of God. But legally, by adoption, Jesus becomes the son of Joseph, and therefore the promises of King David are transferred to him, and Jesus Christ, fully human, becomes the Son of Man. The angel Gabriel, when he had appeared to Mary, said this in Luke chapter 1, verse 32, "The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." By adoption, Jesus becomes the earthly ancestor of King David, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, as prophesied throughout the Old Testament over and over and over again. But it doesn't stop there. Joseph's difficult choices are not by any means over. He's proved his faithfulness and obedience again and again. He receives another dream after Jesus' birth. Matthew 2:13, "Arise and take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain there until I tell you, for Herod is going to search for the child to destroy him." So while it was still night, he does not even wait for the sun to come up. He grabs that baby boy, he takes his wife, and they head to Egypt. It was a 200-mile trip, and he walked it. Her on a donkey, carrying the baby, and he led them through all of the desert, bandits, highwaymen, wild animals. It didn't matter. He had a job to do, and he did it without question. But his commitment didn't stop in Egypt. Matthew 2:19 through 23. Again, God appears to Joseph in a dream. "Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream to Joseph in Egypt, saying, Rise, take the child and his mother, and go to the land of Israel, for those who sought the child's life are dead. And he rose and took the child and his mother and went to the land of Israel. But when he heard that Archelaus was reigning over Judea in place of his father Herod, he was afraid to go there. And being warned in another dream, he withdrew to the district of Galilee. And he went and lived in a city called Nazareth, so that what was spoken by the prophets might be fulfilled, that he would be called a Nazarene." Joseph immediately does what the angel tells him to do. That angel guides him to Galilee, and they finally settle down in the very town where they had been betrothed to each other, where everybody knew their history. I've often wondered what it was like for him to walk through that town with a little dark-haired, curly-haired little boy walking beside him, holding his hand. He'd meet the gaze of people who knew him, who had held him in high regard, had respected him as no other, and they wouldn't even nod their heads. Wouldn't let him in their home. It must have been so difficult at times. Knowing that he had fully obeyed God in everything that he was supposed to do, and continued to do every day of his life because he knew it was required of him, and yet experiencing absolute rejection from all those around him. That's obedience. That's trust. And that is sacrifice. That's what a father does. I was sitting there last night and I thought, wonder what it was like when the sun went down, the moon rose, and the stars began to flicker. Joseph would pick up a candle, walk into that room, see the face of that little boy lying on that bed, ready to tuck him in for the night. He would smile at him, And that little boy would smile back. Take the covers and tuck it around his shoulders. A little boy that he knew would one day grow up to save the world from all its sin. That God himself had entrusted into his personal care. I think as he stood there and he blew out the candle, in the stillness of that night, he said, "Good night, son." And the voice he heard come back in the stillness said, "Good night, Dad." Let's stand.